hearing of the Senate and House Labor and Commerce Committees and the House and Senate Special Committees on International Trade and Tourism. I am Senator Pierce. I'm chairing this year the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. With us this morning, we have Representative Ellis, who sits on House International Trade and Tourism. We have Representative Kay Brown, who is the Commerce Budget Subcommittee Chairwoman of the House Finance Committee. He's been a real supporter of the industry over the years. We have Representative Moyer, the Chairman of the House International Trade and Tourism Committee. Representative Taylor, who sits on the International Trade and Tourism Committee. Myself, Senator Paul Fisher, the Chairman of the Senate International Trade and Junket Committee. And
I don't think a trip to Sitka is
Yeah, but you're just warming up.
Oh, it is if you haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, Representative Finkelstein, Chairman of the House Labor and Commerce Committee, Representative Choquette, Representative Boyer, Representative Phillips, all sorts of people coming, Representative Betty Davis. It is 9:05. The House goes into session at 10. The Senate doesn't go into session until 11, so you have us as a captive audience until 10, and I'm sure the senators would be willing to stay and ask more questions, even after the House members have to leave. A couple of people here that I'd just like to recognize, because I'm not sure that we all know them. One is Dana Brockway, who has faded so well into the background back there. Dana is the Division Director of Tourism, who assures us that he didn't come prepared to say anything, but of course he'll answer questions. And then Larry Galloway is here, who's the Legislative Liaison for Commerce. I saw him. Where did he go? Okay, well, if he comes back in, I will point him out again. We're going to turn this over to Karen Cowart, the Executive Director of the ABA, and go for it.
Just to give you a brief outline about what we're going to be talking on today is ABA tourism presentation. We're going to give a brief description of who ABA is and what our program components are. I'm going to be giving you that. Then positions on state tourism issues will be brought forth by our president, and I'd like to introduce him, Mr. Ray Pedersen, president of ABA. We also will have a cooperative marketing presentation on how the cooperative marketing program works, and that's by Rod Bradley. What we know about the Alaska tourism industry and our visitors, a little demographic overview by Eric McDowell. And then we'll have some final comments by our president. A lot has changed in Alaska in the last four decades. Alaska has evolved from a territory to a state, and cities have sprung up where only settlements once stood. 40 years ago, ABA saw that as an opportunity to develop tourism. Two things haven't changed for us in those past 40 years. Foremost is the wilderness character that is at once Alaska. The second constant in this dynamic environment is the philosophy of the Alaska Visitors Association, and that is to promote travel to and within Alaska. The idea espoused by young Alaskans forming the ABA in 1950 hasn't changed a bit. We're still in the business of bringing people to Alaska, and the competition is growing. The founders of ABA, enthusiastic about promoting the state's many attractions and building up the state's fledgling tourism industry, are still active today. In 1991, that enthusiasm is the glue that binds our membership into a cohesive element with a singular goal, promoting Alaska travel. Today, our organization boasts 625 members and is incorporated as a nonprofit association, receiving our funding from membership revenues, fundraising activities, advertising sales, and ABA publications. And the Alaska Visitors Association is Alaska's only representative of the travel and tourism trade. Our membership represents more than a handful of Alaskans that first incorporated ABA in 1991, even today. Members from across the nation, across the world, and all throughout Alaska and the Pacific Northwest represent our membership. We have every level of the visitor industry in the ABA roles, from cruise ship companies to the smallest charter boat operator, from the rural bed and breakfast to the largest hotel. Visitors get here by every imaginable means, literally planes, trains, automobiles, not to mention motor coaches, cruise ships, RVs, and other vehicles. Tourists want to see Alaska, and tourism impacts every area of our state. Nearly 20,000 people are employed in the industry, and the ABA membership has grown to represent virtually every type of business in Alaska. As an organization, ABA has four major thrusts. Number one is government relations, two, marketing Alaska, three, industry education, and four is local encouragement and involvement. You might say ABA is a cheerleader of the visitor industry. As the representative advocate for thousands of Alaska tourism businesses, ABA communicates the philosophy and political will of the membership to the state legislature. The association remains, as you know, constantly and highly visible in Juneau. Our government relations program is a direct effort to communicate with key decision makers and opinion leaders within the state and federal government. Volunteer directors and members energetically work the issues with the legislature, receiving assistance from our two lobbyists, Clark Greening and Sam Keto. ABA is charged with keeping watch for changes in regulations or laws that could impact the visitor industry. As such, the pulse of the legislature is something that we must stay in tune with. In assessing the needs of the industry in the coming months and years, the association has determined two major goals that must be addressed by the membership in the state visitor industry if we are to remain a viable part of the economy of Alaska. Number one is securing early supplemental funding for the cooperative marketing budget. Our second major goal is obtaining a $12 million general appropriation for the cooperative marketing budget that will allow the industry to compete in the national marketplace. Additionally, we would like to secure funding for highway improvements in preparation for the deluge of traffic expected as a result of the Alaska Highway's 50th anniversary. And secondary to these goals, but no less critical to the industry's future, is the creation of a tourism revolving loan program and the construction of a road to open up Prince William Sound to tourism. Industry taxation is an ongoing concern as licensing and regulatory changes impact the growth in our industry. National issues are becoming increasingly critical, as evidenced by last year's Glacier Bay permit controversy. National policies can impact Alaska like never before, and it is incumbent upon the ABA to monitor and respond to the concerns on that front. The ABA is quite simply a partner with Alaska. Through the efforts of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, the 21-member ATMC is a unique joint venture between the private sector and public expertise. A quasi-state agency, the ATMC consists of 10 appointed members appointed by the governor and 10 visitor industry representatives. And this organization is chaired by the Division of Tourism Director, Dana Brockway. With mutually inclusive goals of promoting travel to and within Alaska, ATMC and ABA work together to promote the state as a domestic destination. Through a contractual agreement with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, ABA jointly manages ATMC and contributes a 15% cash commitment to the ATMC budget. I won't get into the program elements of the ATMC, and because Rob will cover that a little later, but I think in my prepared notes it does talk about them. Contributions from the private sector are not to be discounted, however. Approximately $50 million each year is spent promoting Alaska vacation products by businesses operating in Alaska. The ABA is responsible for selling advertisements in the Vacation Planner to generate our 15% matching funds for ATMC. And as every good business should do, the association uses a byproduct of the Vacation Planner to generate even more impact for the visitor industry in Alaska. And those are the tourism mailing labels. These mailing labels, developed to fulfill the Vacation Planner distribution, are made available to Alaska tourism businesses through the ABA. The mailing labels become essentially a prospect list used by businesses to mail promotional materials directly to potential travelers. Travelers that have already expressed a strong interest in Alaska as a destination for the vacation. Through cooperative efforts driven by ABA and ATMC, Alaska's marketing program is one of the highest quality in the U.S., standing as one of the three nationwide models that participate in an industry government program. Our support of the industry is on every front, from ATMC to the Division of Tourism and other government agencies to the regional marketing groups, convention and visitor bureaus, and private firms. Staying abreast of tourism industry trends and changes in every area of Alaska is a full-time task for our ABA chapters, scattered from Ketchikan to Nome. No other industry impacts every area of Alaska, and our strength is our voice in a statewide association involving every region of the Great Land in our statewide issues. The monthly ADA newsletter is distributed to over 3,500 tourism businesses through the state, and it keeps the industry abreast and advised and up to date on trends, legislative issues, policies, or activities that might impact their operation. Communication is a key to continued success in our mutually beneficial efforts. Communication between government, trade, consumer, and provider organizations. Communication between those that would provide the best Alaska has to offer to those who visit this great state. At AVA, we take our role of liaison between industry, government, and visitor to heart. We're in this thing together. And as the voice of the industry, the Alaska Visitors Association is proud to stand up and be counted for the state of Alaska and the visitor industry it supports. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. For the record, we've been joined by Representatives Hudson, Zawacki, and Hanley.
One thing I didn't mention, I hope that we have time for questions and answers after that.
I'd like to go ahead and get through the whole program, and then we'll do questions and answers, because we don't want to cut you short.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Ray Patterson, President of the Alaska Visitors Association. And first of all, let me thank you for taking the opportunity for having us all here today. I thought I might just go over a few of the positions that typically come up in our industry and in on the government side with respect to our position on various issues that have arisen in the past and have been debated. First of all, AVA certainly supports and endorses the state government funding and tourism promotional efforts. Virtually every state in the union has typically taken a position that image advertising and tourism promotion is a state responsibility. I would point out, however, that Alaska is one of the few, if the only one, that takes a private sector position with the state, especially in the manner in which we do it, in connecting the supplier services and products with the consumer, the ultimate user of those products. I would mention that other states spend as much as have increased their tourism funding over 50% in the last 5 years, and in the case of foreign destinations, many of them have increased their spending by 60%. And certainly, if we're to continue to compete for the visitor dollar, we must maintain a significant presence in the marketplace. But with respect to ATMC activities, we believe that the cooperative marketing method is the most efficient use of public promotional dollars. And the cooperative marketing provides the critical link between the welcome visitor and the products and services of the suppliers, as I've previously mentioned. Since the state has no specific product to sell, the connecting of the potential visitor with the supplier is very critical, especially to the small business person involved in our industry, of which there are a great number. And truly, in many of their cases, if not all their cases, the program, as it's been developed with the cooperative marketing program, is in many cases their only source of getting their products in front of the ultimate user. With respect to special interest promotion, and perhaps promotion on a more regional basis, we believe that the cooperative marketing program is really an umbrella promotional program that allows other regions or special interest coalitions to tap into the generic positioning that the state gains through the promotional effort of the cooperative marketing program. As an example, the Southeast Alaska Tourism Council uses the cooperative marketing program to obtain names of independent visitors that it wishes to attract. Other visitor segments like highway travelers, sport fishing enthusiasts, and winter enthusiasts are available for use by coalitions that focus on those particular services and products available to those markets. AVA believes the state should focus its efforts on reaching the general audience for Alaska to avoid fragmentation of its voice in the marketplace. With respect to the Division of Tourism, we support the efforts of the Division of Tourism to open new markets, both domestically and overseas, to attend regional trade shows and to respond to the general inquiries about travel to Alaska, and to conduct general visitor industry research. We have a long history of cooperation with the Division of Tourism and have cooperated in many of the annual campaigns with the division. With respect to tourism development, we support the promotion of capital projects towards infrastructure, which enhance the comfort and access of the visitor and growth of the industry. We endorse the improvement of facilities within state parks and encourage the state to take a large role in the development of a world-class year-round resort in the state. We certainly support the creation of recreational road construction and water and sewer development and expansion of the private sector tourism development on state lands and an improved system of directional and recreational signs along Alaska's highways. Our association supports the combined funding of tourism promotion. We believe that through mechanisms like the advertising space and the vacation planner and list rentals, the private sector can and should raise monies to combine with funds appropriated by the state. We also believe the $50 million spent by the visitor industry each year in marketing Alaska and Alaska tourism products and services is a significant amount and should be recognized as an overall contributing factor to the growth of our industry. On tourism taxation, we are concerned about the proliferation of municipal-level taxing schemes that are directed at the visitor industry and support an overall statewide approach to this issue. We oppose special interest taxation for general revenue purposes and believe special interest tax revenue should be spent in support of the industry taxed if that is necessary to cover public expenses not covered by the industry's economic contribution to the local economy. With respect to state parks, we acknowledge the expectations that visitors have about the quality of our national and state parks and national parks. Our condition of facilities in our parks should reflect the high standard of recreational amenities our state professes to offer the visitor. Currently, we believe they could be improved upon, and we would support the upgrading of the state park system with improved and additional capacity to accommodate larger number of visitors in a safe, sanitary, and pleasing manner. We do support the policy of expanded concessionaire leasing within state parks as a means of creating additional jobs in the private sector and reducing the cost of park maintenance to the state. With respect to the marine highway system, we feel strongly that it is an important component of travel throughout Alaska, particularly in Southeast, for the independent traveler. We believe it is important that passenger facilities on the ferries be maintained at a standard which sustains the overall quality that Alaska as a destination needs to present. And we endorse the concept of block space for tour operators on the ferry system. With respect to international markets, AVA believes that we should develop and look for the growth of international markets. However, currently 5% of all of our visitors come from these destinations. Although the small numbers are growing, we believe that opportunities present themselves in Europe. And perhaps that type of traveler from that destination is a better prospect for us to mine than perhaps some of those in the Far East, considering how other destinations have been developed vis-a-vis the Far East interest in developing infrastructure first before they support it. We doubt that a commitment will be made by Far East interest in developing infrastructure and then ultimately bringing their consumer to Alaska. So therefore, we've been encouraging and look forward to working closely with European operators, which typically have a better understanding of independent travel and are interested in our destination. We do feel strongly that the domestic marketing program, however, should not be exploited at the expense, or that the international program should not be developed and the domestic program exploited in terms of funding. We also support the off-season marketing of Alaska travel products and agree with the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council's recent study for fall, winter, spring tourism product development. And finally, AVA believes that it would support a concept of a revolving loan fund for tourism development, and conceptually believe it makes good sense to transfer a portion of the state's short-term oil revenues to an investment fund which would aid the development of an industry that uses an inexhaustible natural resource of Alaska's scenic beauty. With that, on our positions, I would now like to turn our program over to Rod Bradley, who will go through how the cooperative marketing program works.
Thank you very much. And for the record, Senator Halford has joined us. Mr. Bradley was on the edge of his seat. This is where we all get to be movie critics?
Yes. So Senator Pierce, members of the committee, my name is Rod Bradley. I'm Chief Executive Officer of Bradley Communications, the firm responsible for executing the tourism marketing promotion. Since time is of the essence here, I'm going to go through this very quickly. However, this is the executional phase of the marketing program. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road and where the bulk of your funds and the funding is spent. It is fairly easy to explain because the program is truly simple. And it's simple because of years of research and refinement that's got us to the point where we are today. The advertising program is broken down into two major elements. That is image advertising, which is basically the television advertising, and direct response advertising, which is the print ads that run in the magazines as well as the direct mail that we do. The overall goal of the tourism marketing program is to create 550,000 requests for our Alaska Vacation Planner. I'm sure you all are aware of the Alaska Vacation Planner. A copy is in the booklet right here and for you to look at. Now, the 550,000 requests come from this thing right here, which is called a business reply card. And that's where you open up the magazine, the ad is there, and this reply card is sticking up in front of the ad. And we generate about 320,000 of these responses from print advertising, and the remainder comes from a direct mail program. Let me first talk about the image advertising and the importance of it. This is the television message that we put out. It's designed to create and increase viewer interest in Alaska as a possible visitor destination. Our research has indicated that there are still millions of potential U.S. visitors who have not even considered Alaska as a potential vacation destination. And we also know that there are many millions more each year who are moving up into our target audience profile through age, occupation, education, and income levels that are changing constantly. Additionally, the image advertising is designed to show Alaska as the only place on Earth where you can experience nature's grandest wonders on a personal scale. In other words, putting people in there, one of the things we found through research over the past is that when we show the beautiful pictures of the glaciers and the whales and so on, people often felt, yes, but how close do I get to that? I can't picture myself in that scene or in that vista. And so that was one of the primary goals of our new television that we created. Interesting enough, it was all based on research. We pre-tested this, and then after we produced it, we post-tested it. And the television spots will generate just the response that we're looking for, a tremendous response. Unfortunately, right now we have no television running whatsoever for the first time in 10 years that we do not have any television running. I'd like to take a moment, if I could, and show you these two commercials.
And you're from the same district, right? Let me show you something. Here's my wife.
Thanks very much. We're real proud of those commercials and certainly would like to get them on the air and get them working for the state of Alaska. The next area that I'd like to talk about is our direct response advertising. And again, this is in your packet, our magazine ad. Here the goal is to kind of close the sale that we've set up for set up by running the television advertising. We've hopefully created interest with the television advertising. Now we want to close the loop here and have people write in for information. It is advertising aimed at high-potential Alaska visitors offering the free vacation planner if they simply fill out the business reply card and mail it in. These advertisements are full-page, full-color, and placed in magazines that are selected on the basis of cost, circulation, past business reply card responses, and actual trips taken to Alaska by these people, which was what we call conversions. How many people actually responded and then visited Alaska? And so that's how we rank in order and make the decision on which magazines to buy. By filling out the business reply card, the reader contributes critical marketing information for the program, such as when they plan on traveling to Alaska, what areas they plan on seeing, what are the activities they plan on doing. This information then is made available to members of the Alaska travel industry for their own marketing program to mail information to those people. There's the address of the reply card. Here's some of the magazines that we're running in. We're running 29 magazines this year. I'm just going through these real quickly. Unfortunately, I will say again this year, because our largest magazine dropped in August, just right at the time of the Kuwaiti invasion, that it has had an impact on our responses, and we're way down this year. Again, exacerbated because we have no television running whatsoever. The next is our direct response program, which is direct mail. The overall direct response objective is to, as I said before, generate 550,000 requests for the vacation planner, but it can't be accomplished efficiently just through magazines alone. So therefore, we select the most efficient magazines and then augment the rest by a direct mail program. We send out 1.6 million of these mailings to special targeted high-potential visitor lists that we select nationally from a variety of sources. Our target is roughly 200,000 responses from that 1.6 million pieces of direct mail that we go out. The next is the basic backbone of our program, which is the Alaska Vacation Planner. Its 120 full-color pages provide the reader with the most comprehensive information available about visiting Alaska. And just as important, it provides a vehicle for more than 1,100 Alaska businesses to get their sales message to the prospective visitors. There are 720,000 of these vacation planners printed each year. Of that, 550,000 are distributed through the marketing program, and the rest are made available through trade shows, visitor information centers, and so on, through requests that come directly to the Division of Tourism and so on. I want to make sure that you understand, of the 550,000 that we sent out, these represent parties, and our average party size is 2.2. So really, it's a readership of well over 1.2 million a year that we achieve through this program. Finally, I want to just touch on the label order program. In today's highly competitive market, a small business with limited resources will find it almost impossible to reach 550,000 pre-qualified potential visitors nationally. The Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, through the ABA, offers a unique solution to this problem through the partnership marketing program through this label program. All tourism-related businesses are eligible to purchase the mailing list and reach those pre-qualified potential customers. The names on the mailing list are generated from the, as I mentioned before, the business reply cards that are received by the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council in response to the advertising campaign. The label program is also supported by the image television advertising that's done. Data from every BRC is entered into a computer, which then generates mailing labels identifying respondents by their interest in a particular activity or region or demographic data or by any number of other parameters. In this way, any tourism-related business has access to a well-researched list of carefully screened potential clients. And they've actually asked, these people are highly qualified, they've actually asked for this information about the marketing partner's specific business or service. So it's an excellent program, one that's envied by states all over the United States, and it's a very effective program and allows small businesses to compete in areas that they would never have the opportunity to do on their own budgets. Sorry I rushed through this, but I want to make sure we had enough time for the research portion of the program. I'd like now to turn it over to Eric McDowell, who's going to give you some interesting facts about our tourism promotion. Eric?
Thank you, and while Eric's coming forward, we've been joined by Senator Sturgeluski and Eliason.
Do something I normally don't do when I present is sit down. And my name is Eric McDowell. I'm president of the McDowell Group. Many of you probably know us from the economic side of our work. We've been before you on geographic differential studies, education funding formulas, education cost studies, as well as a seafood industry study. We specialize in all of the basic industries of Alaska, including tourism, and I hold a master's degree in marketing, and probably a third of our practice involves marketing research, marketing strategies in the tourism and other marketing industry areas. What I'd like to show you today is a profile of the industry. We've been asked by the Alaska Visitors Association to present some of the results of the Division of Tourism's Alaska Visitor Statistics Program. That's a very extensive two-year research program which supplies the industry with up-to-date market information so that your dollars can be spent in a more efficient manner. Let's take a look at what's been happening in the industry for the last 40 years. This is very simplified, but you can see that around 1970, modern-day tourism hit Alaska when promotion dollars began being spent in the state, and we've had a good climb for the last two decades. However, this graph is simplified for the purposes of long-distance viewing. What you don't see here is the beginning of market instability in tourism in the late 80s. For example, 86 was a good year, 87 was a down year. It was not until 3 years later, 89, that we reached 86 levels again. 1990 was good. Early returns and bookings in 1991 significantly down, and there's some concern about 90 not being a good year. Unfortunately, world events are shoving some European and other tourism our way just recently, but we don't have a forecast for the 91 season, but preliminary indications from responses and what Rod is telling you are that it's down a little. That just shows you what the growth path has been. It's been a good steady ride, but we're experiencing some problems now. Better go the other direction, I guess. All right, let's talk about the customer. This is, you can equate it to other industries. This is the trees, the standing trees in the forest. This is the minerals in the ground. This is the oil coming through the pipeline. This is the customer. Each one of them is worth about 30 barrels of oil right now, $600 a piece. Visitors to Alaska, there was about 800,000 of them last year. About three-quarters of those came in the summer. And of those, most of them, which is the red slice of the pie, are vacation visitors that are influenced by marketing. So in summary, the Alaska visitor is influenced by marketing. How do they like us? This is the most astounding finding of the entire two-year study. On a 1-7 scale, they rated their Alaska experience 6.3. Nearly half of all visitors gave it the highest mark possible. It means the product is good, it means you're doing it right, and you're delivering what you promised. Here's some of the things that they say about, and these are typical comments. These are not the cream of the crop. People in Alaska top everyone for friendliness. Alaska is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I urge everyone to visit and plan to revisit every chance I get. Clean, vast, awesome, spectacular, super gorgeous. Alaska's all of these and more. We enjoyed our trip very much and recommend it to all our friends and have. Expensive but worth it. Now, that's the average comments. Where do they come from? Today, we've made some progress in the overseas market. 85% of your market is still a domestic market, and obviously it will remain your biggest market in the long run. The West is the most important. It's declining a little importance, and the South is picking up the slack. The South is a very strong region. About 7% of all our visitors are overseas visitors. 60% of those are from Europe, Western Europe specifically. And that is both our strongest overseas market and probably likely to be the strongest one in the future. And Canada brings in about the same number, but they don't spend as much. The Alaska visitor is very desirable. They're getting younger. They're making more money. More of them are employed and fewer are retired than in the past. And they're very highly educated. Nearly half of them hold college degrees. These are very, very desirable people. And that leads us to the next thing. They're desirable to everybody, not just Alaska. Let's take a look at what the competition is doing. Who do we compete against head-to-head? You'd think it might be other states, and it is to some extent. But our big competitors are world-class. Europe, and this is in order of importance, Europe, Canada, Mexico, Hawaii, Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean, California, New England, the Far East, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Pacific Northwest. Those are the 10 leading competitors when we go head-to-head. In tourism, we're just like you are in forest products. The market is worldwide. That's where we compete. In seafood industry, the market's worldwide, that's where we compete. We're no different in tourism. We're in the big leagues whether we choose to be or not. Let's take a look at what some of those leading competitors spend. By comparison, you're spending about $6.5 million. This year, Canada is twice that, Europe is 5 or 6 times that, and Mexico is about 2.5 times that. Hawaii, which is not on there, spends about 3 times as much. Here's Alaska and its state competition. As I mentioned, you saw some of the major competitors are other states. This is a little fuzzy, isn't it? Okay, we can't adjust the volume. What we're showing here is old data in 89. Alaska spent $11 million then. It's spending a little more than half that now. You're currently being outspent by such tourism meccas of the world as Tennessee and Virginia, Illinois, Pennsylvania. And all told, states will spend $350 million last year. Alaska's share of that is declining. Everyone is in the advertising business for tourism now. A recent trend is municipalities joining in, and you see city advertising. Alaska cities advertise as well. Municipalities in the last 4 years are spending more than twice as much as they have. Foreign destinations are up 60% of their advertising dollars. All other states, 50%. Alaska is up 18%. What's happening in the marketplace? So far, we're still getting people. But in the last 4 years, the declining impact of the Alaska marketing effort has is a 45% loss in your relative market exposure. Your voice is 45% weaker than it was just 4 years ago. You've lost 250,000 impressions on people. Fewer markets are reached. Instead of 25 television markets last year, there was one, Los Angeles. And there, most critically, though, is fewer requests for the real sales piece, and that's the official state vacation planner, down significantly. They're just not coming in. And the last couple of years, that's been a problem. But without the media out there, you can't get the responses. And, of course, fewer newspaper exposures. Let's talk about the industry. And the industry is, we're estimating, we're in the middle of an economic impact study of tourism, but there's probably at least 2,000 firms in the state that are actively engaged in tourism. And they're spread throughout. But let's take a look. There's a study currently underway in terms of full-time equivalents. Tourism, we know, is responsible for at least 10,000 jobs, and that's more than the 8,000 the oil industry has, the 3,000 the timber industry has, the 2,000 that mining has. You can, and that's not including resident travel. When you throw in resident travel servicing, it never gets bigger. But in 1990, 500 firms out of those 2,000 were surveyed, and they spent $25 million on advertising and about $50 million on capital investment that year, probably double that for the other 1,500. Let's take a look at the spending that's transferred into the economy through the industry. It's $400 million a year in state spending. That does not include several hundred million in getting to and from Alaska. And as we all know, for example, the Anchorage International Airport employment and all that is related to the cost of going in and out of the state. But this is just in-state spending. You can see there's five major segments of the economy that benefit it, spread well throughout. Where they spend, they spend well in all five regions, even Southwest with a minimal population base and a minimum ability to service the visitors, picking up $15 million. South Central is a major beneficiary with nearly half. Southeast and Interior Northern pick up about a fifth of all expenditures. Ferry system gets several million. Overall, 20 communities receive more than $1 million, emphasizing, like the seafood industry, the tourism industry has spread well throughout the state. And remote locations, which are not communities, just little places out there, are picking up $44 million out of that $400 million. Here's a quick list to show you. The average vacation pleasure visitor is worth over $600, as I mentioned, 30 boils of oil, or however you want to say it. Some groups spend more than others. The point on this list is that virtually every group is important and is worth at least a few hundred. The top of the list is your Germanic Europeans at $1,500 a piece. Certain types of package tour visitors, 1,500 international air users, ferry users spend well in the state as well. So the point is that the industry markets to a lot of different groups, and every one of them is a group that benefits there. Let's take a look at the atmosphere in the 90s that the industry is going to be working in. And this is probably the most important part of what I'm going to tell you. The elderly market is not going to be strong because depression babies are coming online. But the real prime market for everyone, the age 45 to 64, is going to boom and boom big. And that's the baby boomers coming online over the next decade. Geographic trends, where the action is going to be at, is in the West and the South in the U.S. We have economic trends that influence Alaska. This was done a few months ago, but a recession is underway. Fuel prices affect it. Overseas markets see us as a better buy because of the declining dollar and this sort of thing. But overall, our big market, domestic market, will grow in the long run. Let me conclude here with three points. Nationwide, tourism is America's fastest growing service industry and will grow faster in the 90s. That's where the growth is at. Alaska's primary market, ages 45 to 65, will accelerate in the 90s and be extremely strong. The third and most important point I'd like to make is if Alaska does not compete in the marketplace, Alaska will not benefit. It's plain and simple. You have to tell people what you got. You have to reach people before you can make the sale. If you do not compete in this world marketplace like you compete in seafood and other industries, Alaska will not benefit, and the boom may not be yours. So I'd like to conclude with a thought I'd like to share with you about where we're going. And I've spent a lifetime in Alaska. I've studied all the industries, and tourism is a little different in this respect, and that is you have the ability to turn the faucet off and on in the volume of $600 crack tourists that come through here. You don't have the ability to turn the oil pipeline off and on. There's only so many standing trees and so many minerals in the ground, and you don't have control other than management-wise for the seafood resource. You do have control over the volume of tourists that come here. You do that through your cooperative program. And the choice is to choose to continue not to compete and risk the shaky market situation that's already showing up in recent years in the Alaska tourism, or given the wonderful product we have and the response of your existing customers, you can choose to compete successfully and have tourism be a very strong part of your economy. Thank you. I'll turn it over to Ray Pedersen, President of ABA.
Thank you, Rick. Let me just summarize real quickly here, and I'll talk about money. Where we currently are, as you know, our corporate marketing funds were substantially reduced this year. So with respect to 1991, we're looking at destinations that, in light of current world events, have appropriated emergency funds for Hawaii that is currently going to be used for a program on the West Coast. Australia is currently appropriated a little over $2 million to add to their, bringing their total North American promotional budget to almost 9.7. Mexico has appropriated additional funds to on an emergency marketing basis to promote tourism to Mexico, and as has Canada. As Eric mentioned, our responses are down, and with a supplemental of 3/8, the program, the campaign that you saw earlier in the program here could be put back on television and get into 20% of our top markets instead of the 5% that we're now looking at with the existing funds that will not allow that TV campaign to go on the air, with the exception of one market. That summarizes 91. Looking to 92, one of the things we believe is inherently important to the relationship that we have with the state is a consistent level of funding. Included in your packet, the black portfolio there, is an overview of where we've come from and how we stack up with other destinations and what we need to compete in the future. We've shown the state contribution, the state appropriation to the cooperative marketing program of $12 million on that sheet, with a $2.1 million cash match from the private sector, and also pointed out the $50 million that we estimate our industry currently is spending respectively on its own products for its own services, for the respective services of each of our suppliers. But probably the most important point is that we need some consistency and stability to move forward year after year with the various programs. And I think if you think through the points that Eric made in terms of the research, the stability and the consistent funding mechanisms are important to solving many of the problems that are developing and have been shown to be developing through that research. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, either myself or my colleagues that are here for the limited time that is left.
Senator Chemerinsky, would you mind waiting and letting some of the House members, because they have to go on the floor,
sure,
at 10, if you wouldn't mind. The House members, Representative Hudson, and I know Representative Chemerinsky.
Are we on talk?
No, sir.
I guess my question is the value of seasonal.
We do advertise on a year-round basis, and in the case of Alaska, because of how it competes as an international destination, frankly, it competes with Europe, competes with places like Australia, and we know from both the private research that has been done by the respective companies in our industry, as well as our own research, that the timeline that it takes for a consumer to decide on his or her vacation plans is fairly long-term. They go through about a 12-month negotiating stage, and then they go through another 6 to 12-month stage in a decision-making process until they finally reach that point and actually conclude. Now, during that timeline, it's important to have a destination out there. And those destinations that you mentioned, plus Canada, do advertise on a year-round basis and do keep their, they build image awareness on that timeline.
Second one, if I might, since we're going to have to go on the floor here pretty soon, is I'm wondering about publicity. I wonder if you have that, if you have a publicity plan. I know, and I'm speaking now from an all seafood marketing point of view, but we always try to develop, you know, we need continuity in our program and logos and the images and slogans and keeping that. That's why I said, you know, the year on advertising in the minds of the public. And the best way to get some of that, in addition to advertising, paid advertising, obviously, is publicity, getting on programs, network programs, things of that nature.
Part of the whole cooperative marketing program is not just image or TV advertising. There's press releases, PR, public relations, in the terms of press releases, editorials. There's certainly travel writer programs that are developed. There's media programs that are developed that present the logo, present the position. As part of the whole advertising campaign. It's not just totally focused on television.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was looking through this, Ray. Have you got anything in here that provides us with the match money documentation that the industry has put together in the last year?
No, but we will provide that. And where we are on if a supplemental we're getting, we were approved right now, we would not be able to come up with an incremental cash match to that. The reason for that is when we raised our match to the pre-vetoed budget, and in effect, the funds that the 15% of the post or of the budget that we ended up with, the post-vetoed funds, was put into the ATMC program. The balance of those funds which we raised were committed to other programs that we had to match to keep our program going that had been developed for FY91. So in effect, we've raised and spent those 15% match dollars that would be otherwise, I guess, related to a 3.8 number now.
Senator, I'm sure we got some more questions on this, but we have to go. I'd like, if I could, please, one more statement.
But we will provide that documentation.
I appreciate that. Those of us that are pushing hard to let this happen, we'd like to have that information. On a second issue, you stated that you were in favor of blocking out sales for the state ferries. Did I hear that in your presentation? Currently,
there are three or four tour operators that are allowed to block space. That's what I was referring to, was the RFPs that were put out a year or two ago in terms of allowing four tour operators to block space on the ferries.
And this is an idea that you favor.
Right.
We have, obviously, the ferries were put together to provide Alaskans with transportation through Southeast. I would like to remind you that a lot of my constituents in Anchorage use the ferry system in the summer, and I would caution that we don't get ourselves into such a bind where Alaskans aren't able to make use of the ferries.
I appreciate
that. That's all. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Brown. Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you or your organization had the opportunity to study Governor Hickel's proposed budget, which is down more than 11% from the vetoed amount that we have in the present year, eliminating the ATMC staff and a large reduction in matching grants? Can you convert that to impacts that we'll experience if that were to be the proposal, if that proposal were to be adopted?
If that proposal was adopted, I can't quantify in numbers right now, but I can unequivocally say the program would almost be ruined. I mean, I can we can take some time and quantify that. But basically what happens is that we can produce the vacation planner, we can buy some media, and we will run out of resources to deliver the vacation planner to the respondents.
We'll be getting into that more.
So we'll have a bunch of vacation planners
that
have been produced, and we will not be able to mail them.
Do you know when the subcommittee meeting is?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can find out.
Okay, we should, we'll make sure Dana knows when that meeting is. And I said on the
Dana says March 4th.
Thank you. March 4th. We could have that, so we can have a committee on March 4th. Representative Taylor, then.
Yeah, I just had a comment. Looking at the numbers from Mr. McDowell, it appears to me that we had about twice the money spent by people traveling on the ferries that were traveling on domestic aircraft, air carriers coming in. So I would think that it would be very wise if we could just target and get a bunch of Euro, Swiss, Austrians and get them to ride on the ferries.
I should mention that the ferry line includes the ferry fare, which it doesn't in all of the modes, but since the ferry fare goes directly to the state of Alaska, that's included. Without the ferry fare, their average are a little bit better than the market.
Bring them through Southeast, we love them.
Representative Hudson.
Yes, just as a parting shot, I really believe that we have a unique opportunity to try to capture some of that travel that would be going to Mideast and European markets now. And I, for one, would be very interested in a really appointed and directed paper indicating what kind of an investment we would have to put in and what the anticipated returns were with an early and direct supplemental funding to try to tap in and redirect some of that traffic this direction. I think we need to do that because we need to generate, I think, the right ammunition to those of us in the legislative process to fight to get that additional $4 million back in there and get it in soon.
We'll produce that.
Senator Sturgeon.
Representative Hudson hit right on the target in his last question. I think we need to have some testimony regarding what we can do if we can get it, because I do think we have an opportunity, and I'd certainly like to support that, but we're going to need to make that case.
The point was made by Mr. Bradley that we're not on the air at the moment anywhere, but we are still targeted at L.A., and that is going to happen, or it already did?
No, the only advertising that we had running was October through December, okay, which was network cable, which we buy year after year, but we also buy a series of spot markets, anywhere between 8 and 14 spot markets, high delivery markets. We had to cut those to one market, which was Los Angeles. That's all we could afford, and that was, again, October through December. The important point is one of the things that Ray brought out, Dana reported on it yesterday, the amount of emergency funding that New Mexico has just caught up with, Australia, and several others, because of the situation in the Middle East. People now are canceling their vacations to Europe and the Middle East and don't know where to go. And right now it's ripe. And instead of us being out there with a boosted program, we're out there with nothing for the first time in 10 years. We have no television running in this critical time period. If we had it right on the air right now, we'd be able to get a lot of those people who are canceling their vacations.
We don't have anything up. Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
On that point, we are ready really to go to that market, though. We have the media, so all we need, and you've made that presentation.
We'll be on the air in 7 days.
Yeah.
What is happening in terms of cruise ships that are not going to the Mediterranean? Are we going to see some of those come into Alaskan waters because they're having to change their itineraries?
There are some that have announced plans to come to Alaska. There are four right now. Crystal Harmony, Crystal Cruise Lines, Royal Cruise Lines, Sea Goddess, and fourth one slips my mind, Song of Flower.
So we will see some increase there perhaps.
Yes.
Okay. And the reply cards for these are down, and they were down last year also. This is the second year that they're down. Did I understand that correctly? Or
I'm sorry?
The reply cards to receive these were down last year and are down even more this year?
Well, our marketing season is really September through December and then January, February, March. Our September through December numbers were substantially down, almost 100,000. So we're like 20% under. We shipped some monies to do additional direct mail to try and replace some of those numbers, but we will be down substantially, more so than we ever have been. And the feeling is that it's the impact of this situation. At least we had a similar situation in 86 with terrorism, that people just are unsure about where to go and perhaps just postpone their plans because they don't know where to go, and that's why it's important again that we're out there right now. We're substantially down.
I assume that the higher fuel costs are going to impact the road traveler dramatically. What could be done? I don't know, throwing money at that may or may not have much of an impact, because when gas is $2 a gallon as opposed to $1.20, that makes a big difference in your cost. What can we do?
Well, I don't know if there's, obviously there's nothing we can do as far as changing the price of gasoline. I think, again, just continuing the marketing. Fortunately, anybody else that on a highway transportation system is going to have the same situation. So ours is just being out there, make sure we're out as much as we possibly can. We know that when we do run advertising, our research shows that when we get almost 40% of those VRCs that come in are people who are initially interested in traveling by highway to get here. So it's just us getting the message out there and keep reminding them. Mm-hmm.
Just one. Do you have the figures on the actual cost for a response in various medias? In other words, it's newspaper, what are we paying? Is it $20 a card or whatever?
Yeah.
If you could have that sometime, I'd appreciate it.
It's about $4.20 per response.
Through the newspaper media or through the some other kind of media?
That's for us to get a card back to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the lowest in the industry.
Okay.
Senator, there's a sheet on a survey that verifies the effectiveness of the cost of money for the new packet, and it really does go over all the conversion rates.
Senator Happy, do you have any questions? Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you.
Well, I very much appreciate all of you coming, and it was a great reception last evening, as you all always do well. It's obviously your industry, and you know how to do it, and we will be meeting with Mr. Rockway and talking about the division budget and therefore the ATMC budget, so keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned.